Don't Look Back with Kaz Tran.
There's a handful of songs where I can remember hearing them from the opening chords and just going, what the f*** is that?
Just when you think there's no escaping suburbia, music can come along and save you. Drones frontman Gareth Lydiard knows all about it. As a kid, he used his pocket money to make that happen.
Raw Power is probably it's the broadest. There's other stuff like Hendrix or this, that, the other. I don't know. There's tons of stuff, crazy, weird, wacky stuff, but that, it'd be Raw Power, the Stooges album. It would have been like 1989, and I lived sort of in the burbs by the beach in Perth, and there was a shopping centre near us, a big, shitty kind of new, shiny complex, and it had a record store in it. I'd take my 10 bucks pocket money down every week and buy a Led Zeppelin tape, which there were 9 of at the time. There was 9 albums. And I was looking for the Immigrant Song because I'd heard it on the radio. They didn't say what the song was, but they said, that's Led Zeppelin. So then I started on this Led Zeppelin thing and I was desperately trying to find it. In the end, I did. The last album I bought was the one with that on it. And then the whole time, you know, this was the time of cassette tapes, the whole time there's Led Zeppelin, and above that was Iggy and the Stooges, Raw Power. And it had that cover with Iggy, you know, bare-chested, really weird kind of trance kind of thing. And I would see that every time, and I knew nothing about it. Like, I'm just a suburban idiot, you know, just, yeah.
How old were you?
Oh, probably about 15. Oh, probably less, maybe 14, actually. I'd see that and just go, that is so weird. That cover is so weird. Why would anyone do that? Who is that guy? That's insane. And then in the end, you know, I went down 9 weeks in a row, and I'd bought the whole Led Zepp catalogue. And then week number 10, I went back with my 10 bucks. I went, I want that f***ing album. And the guy was like, yeah, good choice, good choice. I was like, good, that's a good sign. And then went home with my mate and just put it on. I think Mum was out or something, and yeah, I remember sticking it on our stereo and cranking it up and just going, holy shit. And it was just feral, you know, like a rat in a gutter. Scary, small and mean. Singing almost, kind of almost a male soprano. So I had this sort of homoerotic thing going on, even though it was really aggressive and just wildly out of control. And the guitars were just too loud. They'd sort of stab in and out. And they were just, everything was just careening out of control. It was like, wow, cool. Sort of, I found my thing. You know what I mean? I really liked other stuff. I liked Led Zeppelin. We'd been listening to The Doors and doing all that stuff, you know, what you do, you know, burn a bit of that incense and smoke a bit of weed and get into some Jim Morrison, you know. But then it was, and that was good. I liked that stuff. But yeah, the Stooges were like, f***ing hell.
Right.
This is insane. Raw power got a healing hand. Raw power can destroy a man. Raw power is a morning soul. Got a son called rock and roll.
Sounds like to you it just was that combination of those things, you know, the guitars and the chaotic kind of collision of things that were going on and Iggy's kind of snarling kind of desperation.
Yeah, it didn't sound like they were pretending, where, you know, The Doors is very showy and very convincing, but, you know, it's just sort of almost method acting or something. And you know, Led Zepp is really, really, really pretentious, you know. It's silly. But it's great, but it's silly. I hadn't heard anything with that much gravity, you know, that it was, wow, this is real. These dudes aren't pretending. This is actually them. And, you know, and it was true. They were just a bunch of maniacs, like, just that were kind of, you know, lucky to live as long as they did, you know.
Yes.
And, yeah, it was, you could just tell straight away. It was, you know, authentic. And I don't think things need to be authentic. I like all sorts of stuff. I'm not hung up on it's got to be from the street or this or that. I don't care. Like, but you know, if it's going to be authentic, it should be that authentic. It was,
right.
Yeah.
And were you dabbling with writing any music or anything at that stage or playing?
Yes. Me and my friend, who's Tamba, he and I were sort of, he had an electric guitar. I had a bass guitar and we were terrible and we were playing songs. Yeah. We were kind of shit, but we were always stoned, so it sounded amazing. But I listen to the recordings of it now, so oh my god, that's terrible. But you know, you got to learn somewhere. And my mum was cool. We just had this sort of house near the beach in the burbs, and reasonably big house. My granddad had died, and we got an inheritance, and mum had bought this joint. So for once, we had somewhere big, and there was a room off the side with a Persian rug, and mum's like, oh, you can use that as a jam room if you want. So, all right, cool. And then I think that was the beginning of just probably a decade of just destroying the brains of neighbours, just wrecking their sleep. I can't believe, like, I got friends who were, you know, in their late 20s and they still do it. It's hilarious. Just they'll be jamming. It's so f***ing loud on the street. It's like, dude, your neighbour is like 2 metres away. Probably a shift worker trying to sleep.
Oh.
And you are just driving him insane. You're an asshole. And they'll be like, what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? But when you're that young, you just don't get it. You don't realise that there's other people.
Mm.
Yeah, it's hilarious. We had a guy next door. We called him Harry Butler. And he used to come and just scream at us. And we'd be like, what's your problem, man? What an asshole. And he was just like pulling his hair out. Like, you know, cops would come. We're like, what? It's so funny. But we used to do that all the time. And mum would let us. She was very cool.
Oh, what a mum.
Mm.
Yeah, no, that's interesting you bring that up. You know, when you're just so absorbed in what, you know, the music is doing to you.
Yeah, absorbed is, you know, that's, yeah, it's an understatement almost. It's just, it's insane at that time in your life.
That you have no appreciation of how it's impacting on other people at all.
No, you just got to crank it up and you got to, you know, whether you're playing it or you're listening to a record or, yeah, you just, it's all consuming and it's insane.
Mm.
I listened to that blew my mind. And, I've been listening to jazz. I started on saxophone and I don't know where I got that weird idea from. I just went on a big jazz bent.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's bit of a revelation, Gareth.
Well, yeah, I went from being a young dude with no taste. I think I had Brothers in Arms when that came out, which is probably, the kids now probably think that's really cool. But, you know, I've never told anybody that because it's shameful, you know. You're my generation. I can see you cringing. But
I just held it in though, for professional conduct's sake.
Puberty must have struck, and I got smart, and then I just got into Thelonious Monk and Ornette Coleman, and just really radical jazz, and I started playing sax.
Sax. You with a sax.
Yeah.
I can't picture it. I'd love to see the pictures of it. How old, like in your early 20s, trying to play?
No, before Ornette then. Coleman. No, it would be like 15 and stuff like that. 15? 14, 15, probably 13 actually.
Yeah. You must have had like pretty early designs on yourself as being a musician.
Not
like,
really.
You know, to want to explore, you know, listening is one thing.
Yeah.
But wanting to pick up an instrument to emulate or to see if it's something, you know, that you could do. I think it's taking, you know, that extra step as a kid.
Yeah. But I didn't know that was going to – I didn't know I would become a musician, a full-time musician.
No, I don't think you would. I don't think you'd have an appreciation of that as a teenager. But I
just didn't realize that, you know, I used to just shut up. John Bonham's about to do something, you know. The chick at a party would be, you know, maybe trying to crack onto me and I'd be like, shut up, listen to this next drum roll, man. This is f***ing intense. And then she'd just get up and walk off. Like, you know, I was like that. My great-granddad, World War I veteran, he would listen to Beethoven and Tchaikovsky and he would listen to it. He would make you sit down and like, shut up and just check this. And he would just... It was amazing. Like the whole f***ing symphony, which could be like half an hour long. He was intense. And I didn't ever realize it was only till later. I mean, I was just doing the same thing to the girl at the party when I'm like, shut up, John Bonham is about to do something, you know, unheard of. Like, yeah, I'm the same. I thought everybody else liked music as much as I did, but there's only a few. And then I figured out that they were musicians, and then I wanted to hang out with them, so I needed an instrument. So I got it. I guess that's where the sax thing came from. I wanted to join a band. So that's kind of what I've been doing ever since, just having little bands. And I don't have any or many friends outside of bands and other musicians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a small circle.
It is a small circle.
But a very satisfying one by the sounds of it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sustained you.
Mm. But, you know, then I realised, you know, Coltrane, Charlie Parker, like, I can't do that. I will never be able to play that well because these guys were good. And then I heard Hendrix and went, there's a small chance I might be able to do that. And then, you know, started all that. And then, but it was, yeah, Stooges where I just went, yeah, okay, you know, this is even more possible. This is, you just have to mean it.
Don't Look Back is produced by me, Kaz Tran, with Mike Williams from Double J Radio. And doublej.net.au is where you can find the best music from your past, present and future. Thanks for listening. Have you subscribed? If not, go for it. Next time on Don't Look Back, power music couple Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings.
And I know I learned more as a teenager about what life had in store for me from Bob Dylan than I learned from any other source.
Don't Look Back, the song that changed it all.